bid specifications that they have, I felt that I could take my money, take and put it out into other places, turn it, and obviously net profit is a direct result of turning your dollars. And the way the state does business, my experience after going through 1 year of bidding, that there was one hell of a lot better places that I could go than I could by trying to do business with the state of Alaska in that PC bid. And it hurt me right up to the last moment because I had the bid completely done, the bond ready to go, and the bond was exorbitant, but I opted when I just, it's kind of a gut feel, that I could put my money in better places and eliminate the hassles. And I hate to say that, but the state and this whole process is such a hassle, the small businessmen find it just unacceptable.
That was the last witness that I have on my list. Is there anyone here now who wishes to offer any additional testimony that's already been given? Mr. Langster.
Good morning. My name is Henry Lancaster. My mailing address is Post Office Box 103461, Anchorage, Alaska 99510. I wanted to comment on one particular aspect of the bill and ask the committee to consider whether or not under section 1 on page 2, subsection number 9, whether or not the intent to eliminate and prevent discrimination is a statement in support of affirmative action type provisions in the bill, or at least affirmative action type provisions in regulations to support the bill. I think based on the testimonies you've heard from other witnesses today, that you have been apprised of numerous incidents of favoritism or slanting of procedures in favor of certain types of products or individuals or companies, and that the elimination of those kinds of actions address and adhere to the elimination of items like discrimination. And I think affirmative action provisions should be a part of this bill in some way. The second thing I would like to do is to speak against the proposal made by AGC and speak in favor of the naming of subcontractors in bids submitted by generals at the initial bid date. Practically, even today, you can look in the newspaper and see that there are bids on the street. A prime contractor knows that. They will know what day the bid is due. There is nothing that prevents a prime contractor from contacting subs early on to get figures and eliminate the opportunity for bids to be shopped. I am currently under contract with the municipality of Anchorage to audit their current WBE, Women Business Enterprise, and MBE, Minority Business Enterprise, certification list. Of the 125 contractors that I have been contracted to contact, the majority of those have been women business enterprises, followed by Hispanic business enterprises, followed by Asian business enterprises, followed by Black business enterprises, followed by American Indian and Native business enterprises. And consistently, the problem that these small contractors are facing is bid shopping. They are constantly being left out of the bid process because of delays by primes in getting numbers, primes using their numbers and not coming back to them once the award has been granted to use them for their services, primes using their numbers, beginning to use their services, and then making it difficult for them to perform on the jobs. I think that in order to eliminate the bid shopping aspects, that the prime must take a little more responsibility and schedule the acquisition of bids prior to submitting their initial bid for an award and list and identify those subcontractors so that everyone knows at the table who is involved. This waiting 72 hours only allows the prime to go out and call someone else and say, well, I've got some figures from contractor A. What can you do about this project? And 72 hours is all it takes. If they can do it in 72 hours, they can certainly do it before they get the initial bid submitted. And then lastly, I like Mr. Hickey made an interesting comment about the procurement officer or the procurement duties being left to a standard of objectivity. I think objectivity is fine, and I support that. They should be able to use their best judgment to acquire goods at the lowest possible price. But in any circumstance where objectivity is concerned, it must be representative of a community, the community's composition. And if we are not going to have a procurement office and department and individuals responsible for those duties that represent the entire population of Alaska, then I think we still need to put more emphasis on, once again, the affirmative action type procedures to remedy those difficulties.
Are there any questions, Mr. Lance? No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone who would like to offer any additional testimony at this time? Yes.
My name is Sharon Avery. I'm an administrative assistant and concerned about Section 363930 of the bill, which indicates that there will be civil penalties for errors made in purchasing and procurement. I think everyone should accept responsibility for their actions. However, personal liability for monies paid by the state plus 20% legal interest and damages is somewhat extreme. I would like to see the words maybe replace is in that section, part one, where they may be liable for personal liability, etc., for those who violate this chapter for lack of knowledge. In an effort to be a good employee and save a division money, supplies may be purchased sometimes from a source other than the contract vendor. The contracted prices are not always the best prices, and with the continuing emphasis on budget, the efforts have been to get what we need for the least amount of money. For example, we had some supplies ordered from a vendor. They were delivered and ended up being a lot more than we could obtain from another source. Okay, so our main efforts would be to spend as little as possible, so we went to the other source. Whereas if the vendor had protested that purchase, we would have ended up being liable for what we spent plus 20%. We would have ended up paying double out of our pockets, according to the wording in this particular bill. Okay. With wording such as proposed in this bill, I suspect that the new attitude may be to heck with the budgets and the cost to the division. I've got to protect my own purse now. So I'd like to see some changing of the wording in that section to lesser the penalties for that, to provide for training and find out what dollar amounts are we talking about, who specifically is required to be held responsible. Is it the director? Is it the person purchasing? Just some guidelines established in that area.
As you might know, that's a topic we're debating right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna testify. I thought, well, maybe some other state employee will give some testimony in there.
It has been noted and commented on vigorously.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to make any additional testimony, provide any additional testimony? Sir.
We have to push this thing down?
I believe it's on.
Okay. My name is Earl Carlisle. I'm a painting contractor, and I've testified several times before and was instrumental in getting the bill passed last year. This year I didn't get any volunteers to sponsor it for me. I think my senator will sponsor it next year. I'm asking later today. Anyway, I'm very involved in this contracting situation because it's pretty bad. It's improving, though. Our new bill did improve it a lot. However, the state is not enforcing the new bill. They cried they had no tools to enforce it with. We give them the tools, and they took the money that was appropriated, and we have not had our first citation issued since July in the borough of Anchorage. But you have a lot of excuses over there for not doing it, and this needs to be straightened out. Now, in the course of my talking to contractors and watching this situation real close, I find when the state issues, calls for bids, the state or school district or you name it, when they call for bids, they'll grab the lowest possible bidder, regardless of how low he is. And the rest of them are left out. Now, on several occasions, five that I know of this year and the last year, the lowest bidder was 40 to 50% lower than anybody else. They should have a floor mat or a scale to go by or some situation worked out to where they can address this. Because all four of these people who bid that low, they failed the job. One's in the process now. He's got 10% of the work done. He's drawn 50% of the money. And he was 60% under everybody else on the school district job. And he will never make it because it was impossible for him to make Davis Bacon and pay all his bills. And the school district has let the word out he's about ready to sink. Same way last year in school district and same way with the fish hatcheries out of Fort Richardson. The man went in and bid $1 a foot to paint a house or three houses, and you couldn't even break even at $3 a foot. They let him have it. He went in the hole. They should have some system where they bid under 20 or 30% under the rest of bidders, that it should be go before board and be approved, not just give it to him. Because he doesn't need to fail because of his own ignorance. They should run him out and let him get a little bit more schooling before he comes in and bids. Because these people do not know what they're doing. They mess up jobs, and once the wrong painter gets hold of a building, from then on that building's ruined. You can patch it up, but you can never make it look good. I mean, every year or so or 2 years, it just costs more money to have it painted again instead of getting a 6 or 7 year paint job. Every 2 or 3 years, you got to come back and redo it. Same way with carpenter work and the whole nine yards. And we do need to address that and have some format to where you look at it when it's too low a bid and make that man prove on paper what he can do with what he's bid. Most of the time, it won't stand up the time you figure in all your taxes, Davis Bacon, labor and everything. Make him go before a board before they award that bid and say, this is what you have to do and make him prove it. And if he can't stand up before the board, then never allow him to bid. What else? Well, the one gentleman back there addressed the minorities not getting their fair share, my interpretation. The small white contractor male is not getting his fair share either. The minorities and the women small contractors are getting the bulk of the city and the state small jobs, under 25,000. I, for one, have been in business for 10 years. The state has never called me. The city's only called me once to give a bid. And my name's been in there all over the place. Matter of fact, I've submitted my name to the state to get on their roster, and it ended up on real estate, and now I get real estate bids. And I've submitted it 4 times, and I still get the real estate bids, no requests for bids for painting. And somebody's misdirected something. Anyway, that's about all I have to say.
Any questions? Thank you very much. It is 12 o'clock, and several members of the committee have lunch appointments. Is there anyone else who wishes to make any additional very brief comments before we adjourn? If not, the Senate, we will provide any member who is interested with additional copies of the draft as the draft proceeds. We will be making changes in the Senate Judiciary Committee draft. This is a preliminary draft, and there will be additional changes made. There are approximately 10 to 15 major policy areas we'll be dealing with, this, as well as additional minor policy area decisions. My office will be able to provide you with any information that you might wish. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to give everyone an additional opportunity to testify, probably by teleconference, perhaps on a weekend, not too far away, as the final legislation, at least in the Judiciary Committee, of guys is finally drafted. With that, the Judiciary Committee is adjourned.
Thank you.